Welcome, everyone, to episode 4 of Why Should Your Team Win? And before we get started, I just got a little housekeeping to do. Episode 3, we said Vegas lost to the Capitals in Game 7, when in fact the Capitals clinched the series in 5 games. Anyway, let's get started. I'm so excited. I have a guest coming from all the way from North Dakota, my home state, Mr. Ian Johnson.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Ian, I found him straight through the Twitterverse through our friend Gabe. So shout out to Gabe. All right, let's just get started. I want to know, who's your team and how did they become your team?
Great question. So I would say the entirety of my hockey career, or like life as a fan, I guess they call it that. I've been an Avs fan, a Colorado Avalanche fan. I will put in one small caveat that growing up in Minnesota, I was introduced to hockey through watching North Stars games. So I actually really enjoyed watching Mike Modano as a kid. But when Minnesota left and went down to Dallas, it was really, really hard to especially as a kid, when everyone in the room is talking about sports, you kind of want to follow a team that you're able to watch. And that everyone else is talking about, it makes being a fan as a kid easier. But no one followed the Stars, no one followed the Stars after Minnesota relocated them. And I just, like, I don't know, it was just, as a kid, it was hard to get into. So at the time, I had a couple family members who lived in Aurora, Colorado, actually. And just outside of Denver, and my grandmother, who used to visit them quite frequently, knew I was a hockey fan, or just a, you know, sports fan in general. And this would have been in the just before the Nordiques moved the franchise to Denver, which became the Avs. And she came back from a trip, actually. And they must have been doing some type of promotional stuff to, like, get the city kind of excited about the team. And so I remember she came back with, you know, pennants and I think I got a little hockey stick and some cards and just, like, Colorado Avalanche memorabilia. And she was like, hey, there's this new team in Colorado. Here's some stuff. And I, as a kid, I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about these guys. But I chose to kind of follow them that year. And as one would know, that Avs went on to win the Stanley Cup that season. And so as a kid, you're watching, you know, especially looking back on it now, I'm watching a team full of soon to be Hall of Famers, like greatest of all time players. And also, you know, my first crack at it, at being a fan, they just so happened to win the Stanley Cup. So at such an impressionable age, I was, like, just enamored by it. And watching those games and especially when realizing, like, wow, this team is really good. And I really like these players. You know, I look at it as, like, wow, how lucky was I as a sports fan to, like, pick a team. And it's like, oh, that team is one of the greatest hockey teams in the last 30 years. And have all of these amazing players. And, oh, by the way, they win the first Stanley Cup in franchise history.
Yeah. Please tell me you still have that memorabilia grandma gave you.
I do, actually. It's tucked away at my dad's house somewhere. I'm pretty sure it's in the basement still with all of my other, you know, childhood sports collectibles. But I do know that I have the like little hockey stick for sure from that inaugural season. So yeah, I owe kind of owe my fanship to my grandmother. She probably like had no clue.
What did she do? No, that's awesome. So you've been in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
Since day one. That's awesome. You don't need a lot of
ups and downs.
Oh yeah. So let me just segue to my next question. Who'd you got a favorite player? That's a hard question to ask. It really is.
So I usually, when I talk with friends about this, specifically to the Avs, I kind of break it down into like two segments, like favorite all time. And then I like to like point to a favorite player that's currently playing. And I would say my favorite player of all time, really just every hockey player in general, not just the Avs, but of all of the athletes in the NHL that have been for the last 50 years, I would say Peter Forsberg is by and large the player that I've gravitated towards as my favorite player for a lot of reasons, like, but just predominantly, I think you go and look at the way that hockey was played, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And it was a physical game, but there really wasn't a ton of guys who really played the game with like a level of physicality and skill, I think, in my opinion, that Peter Forsberg did. I mean, I just actually was sending a video to a friend yesterday. It was a Peter Forsberg.
It was his birthday yesterday. Yes. I watched his top 10.
So him and I have the same birthday, actually.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday to you and Folpa.
Yeah. Thank you. but I think that you watch a player like him play at really any stage in his career. And, you know, there's games where you'd watch him, you know, behind the net and, you know, like stick handling with one hand while carrying a defender like on his back and making plays. Just a true cut and dry power forward, which is just so exciting to watch.
Yeah, his physicality, he was such a skilled player. Also, to bring that physical side of the game, was amazing.
Yeah, and you didn't see a lot of, like, you saw one or the other. Like, I feel like back in the day, you would see guys like either Fedorov, or you'd see guys like, you know, Domi. It was like, you know, big brooding physical force or highly skilled, isn't going to get behind the net. And for whatever reason, you know, he was able to kind of play in a way that combined both of those elements. And in my opinion, like, continued to be one of the driving forces behind why that team was so good for so long. I just don't think that there was many teams playing had a guy like him. So I would say for all time Avs, that would be my favorite player. For current Avs,
just one more thing about Forsberg. I think he had one of the worst hockey injuries I've ever seen or heard of when he popped his spleen.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
He wasn't like able to play in the playoffs because of it, which is another thing that I think people forget about, that the Avs did win a cup without him on the ice, which is mind blowing. But yeah, exactly. I had a ruptured spleen. Yeah.
Anyway, like, go on.
but I think current players, I mean, there's always an argument to be made for McKinnon being someone's favorite player. I mean, the guy looks like he's literally running downhill while he skates. I mean, just so powerful. I mean, it's really hard not to say Cale Makar, because I'm not being like an Avs fan by saying this. Like, I truly think he's one of the greatest defenders, not currently, but literally ever. So I think there's part of me that would say maybe him, but I really think based on all of the intangibles, the style of game that he plays, I'd have to say I think my favorite player currently is Gabe Landeskog.
Nice. You know, I wrote down Landeskog and then Makar.
it's such a toss-up, right?
But then I wrote Nichushkin, Lecky, and Kadri. this whole team, was just like special.
It really was. Like the way that Joe Sakic was able to piece together this team, it like just blows my mind. Like the very little that I've seen recently written about this current Avs team, like people are already saying like, this might be the best Stanley Cup winning team in the last 10 years. And you go through the roster and you're like, holy smokes, like how were all of these guys able to be on one team in a cap era? I mean, it really is impressive when you think about it.
Yeah, Joe Sakic is unbelievable. I mean, you know, it took 5 years to get there, that 16-17 season, you know, when Duchesne had the poopy diaper for a year and he was like so sad about it. You know, I felt bad for the guy, but it was also the fans really were like, get the fuck out of here then.
Yeah.
You know, he finally got his wish, got traded mid-game to Ottawa. And that was kind of, you know, remember that game, April 2018, that last game of the
against season? The Islanders?
No, that was the year after. When we beat St. Louis to make it to the playoffs. That was 2018. Oh, sorry.
Yes, the following year, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. It took all these things to get to where we are now. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with
that. I mean, it's funny you bring that up, though, because I do think you have to look back to that year where Colorado was the worst team in the league, and kind of look at, okay, what was the roadmap to get to a Stanley Cup in only 5 years? And I think you have to, as a fan, admit that like Duchesne was not an integral piece. He was never going to be a number one center. And it was unfair for the franchise to expect that of him, especially after he had proven he just couldn't do it. And that's not his fault. I mean, he's a solid second line center on a Stanley Cup winning team, but he's not a number one guy. But I think that eventually, like, that guy had to be removed. I mean, I've read and heard some things that basically point to the fact that he probably was a locker room cancer after a while. I remember hearing an interview with Eric Johnson after like the night that Duchesne got traded, and someone asked him like, you know, how do you feel about the Duchesne trade? And you could tell he was just annoyed. And he's like, well, like basically he said like, now we're all pulling in the same direction. Good for him. See you later. And you could tell. Yeah, Eric Johnson did. Yeah.
I remember that interview. Yeah.
And I remember hearing that, and I was like, oh, you know, like this is probably good on multiple levels for this team. And then to follow up that next year to the point that you made, which is that game 82 to go to the playoffs where they beat St. Louis. I remember being in a bar watching that game, and it was like, it was the equivalent of feeling like we won the Stanley Cup to go from so low to so high. And I remember, you know, like one of my favorite Avs moments, I think in the last 10 years is watching that game when Landeskog scores an empty netter, and it's the dog pile. Like all of the, they're like kids. They're like legitimately kids, 23, 24 yeah. kids, like so ecstatic and dogpiling on each other in the middle of center ice. Like all professionalism goes out the window and they're literally kids on a hockey rink, just happy.
Yeah. That was awesome. Except for, I think we played Nashville the very first round.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yep.
Nashville was actually decent that year. And
they were. Yeah.
And
we lost in six, I think. Yeah. I think we lost in six. But even that, like, I remember the game that we ended up winning and we won. We scored two goals in the last like 3 minutes. And I remember watching that game at a friend's house and just being like, you know, giving ourselves like false hope, like, oh my gosh, we could come back and win this series. You know, which obviously didn't happen, but that's like sticks in my head as like one of the greatest or most, not greatest, but one of the most fun moments as an Avs fan in the last 5 years is watching that dog pile happen.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's definitely every Avs fan's like top three moments of the last 10 years for sure.
Yep.
But yeah, no, Deshane, I think it was also his character, because when he first came into the league, you know, he was 18 or 19, had never drank a beer before and was like super Christian.
Yep.
You know, and so like, not to knock him, do whatever, Deshane. But like, I think that was also, it was just like character differences. Like maybe the guys want to go to a strip club and he's like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, and like those kind of differences kind of made a, you know, you need the bonding, the team chemistry. You know, if someone feels like they, you know, they aren't a part of the club, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think as he got older, you know, social media with athletes gives you a window into some things that you probably wouldn't have seen 20, 30 years ago. But I mean, I even told my wife, you know, while that trade, after the trade happened, because I was very much on team good riddance, like see you later. Take your this poor attitude elsewhere. Like he was just obnoxious. That whole like training camp scenario when he was like, I'm just here to fulfill my contract. It's like, shut up, go away then. Like, no, like you're not winning over the collective of fans by showing up because of your contract. Like show up because you want to win or show up because you're supporting your teammates. That's what you need to do. Like that's what a real athlete would do. And I feel like, when that happened, like Deshane is always posting videos of him in country music and him playing guitar. And he like wants country music artists to be friends with him. And I'm like, this dude just want, like, he doesn't care about winning. It appears as though he just cares about a lifestyle in Nashville. And that's ultimately where he signed. And he probably fits in great there with that culture. But it's not a winning culture. It's like ice capades, and he gets to like hang out with country music, you know, stars on the weekend, and guys in Colorado are like, we are replacing meals with like, you know, with chickpea pasta because it makes you more athletic versus, you know, I mean, they're just their mindset to win is just so, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they're just so committed, right?
Technical difficulties.
Oh, that's okay. But yeah, they're just so committed. And I don't think Deshane was or is the type of player to, you know, to really lean into that. I mean, he'll make good money. He'll be remembered as an okay player, but I highly doubt it'll be with the Stanley Cup.
Well, yeah, and whenever he comes to the Ball Arena, as soon as he touches the puck, everyone's booing, and then everyone's, you know, he had that quote that's going to follow him forever. I just want to play playoff hockey.
and that's the kind of stuff that, like, you sound like such a loser when you say that. Like, you don't think that every single athlete wants to play playoff hockey? Like, that's the dream. You, as a kid, get into a professional sport to win a championship, like, of course, but it looks as a fan, it looked so petty and almost like it let us down as a collective, as fans, I would say, when someone's like, hey, The wheels are falling off the wagon, and I'm just going to bail. And it's like, whoa, what? No one else is. Why are you? Like, what makes you so much more special that you get to go playoff hockey and the rest of them have to like figure out this dumpster fire, which good on them for figuring it out. Like, there's five guys still left from that team that won a cup this year. And I could not be more proud as a fan to see that group of guys win it.
Yeah. You know, when we were, you know, mid-season trades, when they were talking about which players need to go and all that, we ended up getting rid of Jost, giving him to Minnesota. But Confer's name was out there for a minute. And I was like, no, not Confer. Keep him.
I know. And I look at that now, because I followed Jost as a hockey player through University of North Dakota when he played there. And then got drafted. So that was really fun. And I kind of hated to see him go. But then I, again, look back at, you know, what the team was building towards. And, you know, not that it was exactly like a Duchesne thing. But after Jost got traded, you did see some articles coming out where Jost did ask to be traded. He wanted to play a bigger role in a team. And I get it, right? Like you want to play as integral of a part to a team as you can. But, you know, on a team like Colorado, it kind of came off like he was like, well, I'm not getting a fair shake. I want to go start over. And that's fine. You know, I'm sure he regrets it now.
Yeah, no doubt. Because technically his name could have been on the cup, but I mean, if you're not there, what's the point? You know,
right. Like, exactly. And you know, I think that what were you gonna say?
Oh no, just other players, since we're talking about Avs that have left, but you know, I was thinking of other players that I wish got to raise the cup was Tyson Barrie, because he was a core player or a core part of the team for many years. And I was sad to see Barrie go, but I mean, obviously we got Makar, right. You know, so it's like, who do you keep?
Yeah, he was such an interesting player to that team, because I do think that his worth was a little inflated while being on Colorado, because he had guys like McKinnon to kind of pad his numbers. And I think that's why when he got outside, he went to Toronto and Edmonton, it just didn't seem to replicate the same. It was awful. Like, it, you know, you look at that trade where we got Kadri and they got Barrie, and it's like, oof, boy, that one is lopsided. But he was such a huge locker room guy, right? Like him and McKinnon are like, you know, best buds. So you hate to see those guys go, for sure.
Well, and that Soderberg, he was back for a couple minutes, I feel like, wasn't he this season?
Yeah.
And then he was gone again.
I'm not sure if it was last year or Soderberg. The year before. And they signed Carl Soderberg like halfway through the season, I think. So he came back for a hot minute. He played in the playoffs. And then after we lost in the second round again, I think he went back to his home in Sweden.
I'm sorry, my Zoom keeps dropping us, but I got a backup recording as well.
You're fine.
Go ahead.
The Carl Soderberg type player, like that would have been cool to see those guys get a chance to raise it. But I think that's also like the heartache in being a fan of a team, is that you have these, you fall in love with players. And you want all of them to be on a championship team. And sadly enough, like, just not everyone gets to have that. So I'm at least grateful.
And then also,
I was gonna say, I'm grateful that at least those five core guys got to have a cup together after such a shitty 5 years.
Yeah. Well, and also I wish, you know, Matty Hustle, Matt Calvert could have been there as well, because he retired last year mainly because of injuries. So that was another one that was like, oh, buddy, you almost had it there.
I think they called him dad in the locker room.
He's only 31.
Yeah, I know. And that like is telling too. I mean, all of these guys are like literally, you know, 22-year-old kids. And here's this like early guy or guy in his early 30s. They're just called dad. It's also too, he wore like during off days, I would see like photos or videos of the team. And Matt Calvert was just in these like total dad jean shorts. And I was like, yeah, this guy's a dad.
Yeah, New Balance shoes.
Exactly. Yeah.
We've discussed some of your favorite players. What team do you hate to lose against to?
Oh, well, I feel like the easy answer would be to regurgitate the, you know, 90s rivalry with Detroit, which quite honestly, now removed from it, you know, I mean, yes, it's fun to like put those shoes back on when we play Detroit and pretend that I hate them, but I really don't, honestly. And I, you know, you see a guy like Steve Yzerman coming into that front office and he's putting together a pretty rad team, honestly. And I hope that that rivalry starts over in the future, but as it stands right now, I fucking hate losing to Minnesota. I hate Minnesota fans. Yeah. I cannot stand them.
No, you're right about the Red Wings are doing a pretty good rebuild right now. They just signed Perron from St. Louis.
Yep.
So we'll see if that rivalry reignites. But I agree with you 100% on the hating on the Minnesota Wild for sure.
The thing that I noticed too is like Minnesota fans are so fair weather that they disappear. And then like the moment that Minnesota has, you know, a glimmer of hope, they come out like cockroaches and they're like, I'm a lifelong Minnesota fan and I've been here and this is the state of hockey. And I'm like, Denver just won a college national championship and a Stanley Cup. So is it the state of hockey or is Denver right now?
And they also, I think East High School won the state championship as well.
Yep. And it's I think because of where I live, it's easy for me to dog on Minnesota fans because that's what I'm, you know, seeing face to face every day. But I mean, that whole hockey state bullshit narrative is so annoying. I mean, yes, the high school hockey programs in Minnesota are phenomenal, but they are equally as good in Massachusetts and Connecticut and New York. You know, I always joke, when friends or family here kind of pull that whole, you know, birthplace of hockey narrative, I'm like, yeah, go tell that to Canada.
Yeah. They invented the damn game.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, let's see. Just a fun fact. Did you know that the Colorado Avalanche were going to be called the Rocky Mountain Extreme?
No, and that is the most 90s name I have ever heard.
I guess it leaked and everyone was that all like these future fans were like, hell no, we will not be rooting for the Rocky Mountain Extreme. So then they unveiled the Avalanche.
The Rocky Mountain Extreme sounds like a gas station beverage, like an energy drink.
Exactly. Yeah. I wonder what that jersey would have looked like though.
Oh, you know, it would have been like purple and had like silver and neon yellow lightning bolts.
Do you have any jerseys?
I have too many. I think I have 12.
Stop it.
Yeah.
All Avalanche, or do you got anything else mixed in there?
I have, look, my brother is a Flyers fan, so I have one Flyers jersey when I get together with him. But that's, I'm pretty sure, yeah, all of the other ones are all Colorado. I kind of have this thing, like I buy myself a treat at the beginning of every hockey season where I just like pick out a new sweater to wear for the whole season. So this year I bought our third jersey, the blueberries. I bought a Rantanen jersey. So that's what I wore this year.
Nice. If I could get a jersey right now, I would probably get the reverse retro Makar.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
Yeah.
It is.
No, I like what they did with all those reverse retro jerseys. Most teams had a pretty cool one.
They did. Yeah. And I hope that they do it again. Like, I hope the NHL is finally realizing that they need to do stuff like that to keep the fan base engaged. Like, it doesn't grow the sport as much as it's just fun. Like, hockey needs to be more fun.
Yeah. Like, Dallas neon green. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It looked cool. Black neon. I don't know. And Minnesota, it said they had a pretty cool reverse retro, like the North Star colors.
Yep.
So it was kind of.
I did appreciate it. There was a little part of me that's like, that's actually pretty badass. But no, I think that the NHL needs to be better about keeping fans engaged and just like having fun with it, like just doing things because they're fun. You see the NBA do stuff like that all the time. And the NBA is three times as big as the NHL in terms of viewership.
Well, and you know, how I watched the NHL All-Star game with my wife this year. And I was explaining to her, I'm like, well, actually he's not an All-Star and neither is he. And actually he has like two goals. I don't know, you know, so the All-Stars has now turned into participation where they want a fan from each team. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't agree with that. I don't like the fact that it's like a participation trophy. I think McKinnon had said it best, that it's like it's supposed to be an all-star game. You're supposed to be getting, you know, the best players from the league to showcase talent. And I'll be quite honest, like, I'm not sure that there's really anyone on Phoenix per se that should be there.
Trevor's Zegras.
What's that?
Oh, nothing.
I think that what I'd like to see them do is put the best players the league has to offer on a pedestal. Like, that's the only way I think that you grow the game, is by putting up your best players. And I don't think that you grow the game by saying, well, everyone has to have a representative. I think that's bullshit. If your team sucks, get a better player.
Then they did like the last man in, and Kadri was the last man in. And I'm like, he's actually the best Avalanche player right now.
Right.
And, you know, funny, he's the last man in. Okay.
Yeah. And that's a great point. Cause at the time, I think he was like second or third in Hart Trophy voting at the time. And I'm like, how is this guy being voted in last? There's like five guys on this Colorado team that probably should be at the All-Star game, you know?
Yeah.
And the same with Tampa. Tampa was the same way. You could have picked five guys off that roster that should have been there. And you, that's why I think, you look at any other league, and the NBA has Steph Curry's and LeBron's because they constantly showcase them, right? They're just like, this is our guy. And I'm like, do that with hockey. And it's partly too, like, hockey players need to be better about showcasing personality in general, especially at the All-Star games. You know, a bunch of dudes from, you know, Calgary or, you know, Edmonton being like, well, you know, it's gotta thank my teammates. It's like, well, you're also an elite athlete, so stand on that for a second.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. So we kind of talked about your favorite, like your favorite team or your favorite games, your favorite cup run. What was so special about this season for you?
It's a really good question. I feel like I'm still kind of coming down from the high of the season. Like I have a cup hangover, and a real hangover actually. but I think this, you know, I think what was special about this season was like I knew that this team was really good, right? And I saw the pieces coming together. I think that previous year's experience in the postseason had kind of made me a little nervous about setting my expectations too high. And so I feel like from the very get-go, it was kind of like, just trust Joe Sakic, trust the vision, and let it ride. And so it was just, as a hardcore fan, I feel like my intensity towards the year was just like, it was just dulled a little bit, not in a bad way. It was just like, you know what? This is a great team, regardless of whether they win a cup or not. And that, you know, that's what I have. Like my kids will have, you know, Makar, McKinnon, and Rantanen and Landeskog the same way that I had Wah, Forsberg, Sakic, and Hayduke, right? So as a fan, just being able to like be cool with however the season went, and just really enjoying it for what it was. And then realizing like, holy shit, like we actually might win a cup. Then it was like, this is why being a fan of this team is so fun.
I think in January, remember when we didn't lose a single game in January?
Yes.
And that, I remember like I watch, do you ever watch DNVR, those guys,
yeah,
that podcast?
Yep.
Well, yeah, I remember I forget the game, but it's like we were leading 4-1 and then we ended up winning 5-4. So we kind of have a little collapse, but we still won the game.
Oh, the Toronto game.
Yeah, it was something like that. But all the guys were like, I can't believe Denver, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, we got the W.
Yeah.
Shut up. Let's move on. And have you noticed we won every single game in January? You know, so like, I love those, like, I don't know. This is why this podcast is just about like, let's just fangirl about the Avs, you know?
Yeah.
So like, so a lot of podcasts is just like a bunch of dudes being like, blah, blah, blah. The defense totally collapsed. And then what was he thinking? And oh my God, they should have pulled, you know, it's like, okay. I just focus on the winning.
That's a good point. And I think I have truly listened to less hockey podcasts this year than I ever have in previous years. Like I used to consume that, I mean, daily, you know, a couple podcasts a day. And you're right. Like when the angle becomes this like over analytical, kind of like pre-game preview, post-game rundown, it's like, yeah, you know, you're right. Like, Colorado's defense was pretty sloppy this week. Like they can't make a tape to tape pass to save their life. Like those are all true. But it kind of sucks the joy out of just being a fan in general. Like being a fan means that you get into these drunken, heated, hot takes with friends, because that's what's fun about being a fan. Not like, well, let's break down the third period. It's like, or we can just talk about how fun that was, or, you know.
No, one of the guys on DNVR, I love all those guys, by the way, but they did a like a 10-minute special on Eric Johnson. And it was like the whole time the guy was eating a shit sandwich talking about Eric Johnson. And he was like, you know, he's going to be second place, but it's only because he's been playing with them for 10 years. And, you know, and I was like, shut up. Remember that time when he hustled his ass down the ice to stop that goal from getting in? Like he could have just let that go. Yep. But like, he has heart. I don't care if he's fucking Kale McCarr or anything. Like, spit out that shit sandwich. Don't ruin this game for me by being, like you said, over analytical.
And especially when you have such a talented team, like I'm always skeptical of people who are like overly critical of elite teams. And I'm like, you're talking about, like, you're being critical of Eric Johnson, who is a, like, the, other than Landeskog, is the leader in the room. He's the most tenured Av. He was a first round draft pick for a reason. Like, the guy has been a stud most of his career. Granted, it's been injury plague, but like, he's been a stud most of the year. What, like, who are we to sit and critique him as, you know?
And he's come back from the injuries. He broke a leg from blocking a shot.
Right. Yes.
Like, a lot of players don't come back from a broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the fact that he can come back and still hustle his buns is awesome.
And that's where I think the, for me, like taking a step back from like some of my hockey content consumption, I think that's where it started, at least. Cause similar to you, I was just like, I can't listen to people just analyze 82 regular season games this way. Cause it's not fun. Yeah. Like,
well, and plus these guys are all really smart. You know, mm-hmm. So it's like, I get it. You're the smartest. You know every little nook and cranny of the game. That's great. All right.
Right. And I think that as a fan, like whether it be general fans or even like I would call myself like a very intense, very knowledgeable Avs fan. Mm-hmm. And even for people like me, I'm like, you know what? I've had enough. Like, I just really want to enjoy my beer, watch the game, and sit around a table with people who are like, aren't the Avs great? We love this. This is fun. Like, that's what hockey to me should be.
Yeah. Well, so I'm sure you've paid attention to the draft and players. We just won a championship, and it's sad to see players like Berkey go.
Yep.
And so we've seen a lot of players. You know, Kadri still hasn't re-signed. We don't know what his future is. I mean, we lost Kemper pretty much the next day, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
With all that factored in, I'm going to lead into my last question for you. Why should your team win?
Why should my team win? So I feel like the low-hanging fruit on that question, I'm not going to take. But I would say, like, why should my team win? I'm like, well, we just won. So
I know.
We are the favorites. But I, why should the Avs win? I think I'm going to give two parts to this answer. First part, simply based on like on talent. The team is still elite. I mean, you have turnover, right? And you have some unknowns with Georgiev and Net now, losing Berkey, and you're still waiting to see what happens mm-hmm. with Kadri. But I'm, in my opinion, like you still cannot bet against a team whose core is Gabe Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Devon Taves, and Mikko Rantanen. Like, that is an elite group of five guys. So I would say, why should we win? Because we're the most talented right now, in my opinion, right now. But I feel like for the sake of the game, why should we win? I think that getting back to a point I had made earlier, just about like how to grow the game and how to find new fans and how to get, you know, new young kids into hockey, or, you know, adults who are like, I've never really watched hockey but I'm going to try to get into it. I feel like the way that Colorado has been built, and from the front office down, I mean, your president of hockey ops is one of the greatest hockey players of all time, and Joe Sakic. Mm-hmm. It starts there and works down to the team. And I feel like that Colorado team is comprised of athletes that could support this dynasty level run for the next 5 years. And similar to what Tampa just did, right? And I think Tampa's time is up. And I think the way to grow the game is to have another team like that, similar to how Pittsburgh was and Chicago was in years past. And I feel like the way to get new people in is to have Colorado be that team, because they do have so many likable players, so many elite athletes who are going to be in the Hall of Fame eventually. I think that it's good for the game for a team like Colorado to continue to win for at least the window of the next 5 years. I think that you'll have kids who are, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old now being drafted in, you know, 8 years, being like, my favorite player is Nathan MacKinnon. My favorite player is Cale Makar. And I think that's good for the game. I think that that's good for fans. I think that's good from a, you know, a growth standpoint and getting people into it. So, you know, yeah, why should our team win? Because I think in the long run, it's good for the sport. Some people are going to disagree, though.
Yeah, awesome. Ian, this was so great. You're such a great guest. I might be a little biased, but it was great having you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and you guys, that's the episode. Tune in next week, and I'm going to have a new fan. Thanks for tuning in. Okay.